I take as an opening prayer the words of our collect. Almighty God, by grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Amen. Have a seat. An interesting thing happens in the gospel today with Jesus. We skip ahead in the lectionary, we skip over a pivotal part of the life experiences of Jesus, and we jump right into his arrival in the synagogue. It's important to note how we got here. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. Could you just keep an eye on that? So before we get into our gospel today, Jesus gets sent out in the wilderness. He was just baptized, and right after, as you recall, the Spirit whisks him away to the wilderness, where he encounters Satan, temptation, the evil one. And in this place, Jesus encounters three things, and these are important to remember. The first thing he encounters is the temptation for bread. In other words, provision, what he needs, food, sustainability. The second thing he encounters is power. He's tempted with authority over all the nations. When you have authority over all the nations, you have power. Jesus says no to that temptation as well. The third thing that he encounters is protection, safety. Just jump off the pinnacle. God will save you. The ultimate safety for your very life. Jesus encounters that as well. Now, he returns from the wilderness, and he goes into the synagogue, and he takes the scroll. And he doesn't just take what's given to him in the scroll. He goes looking for something. He looks through Isaiah to find a verse that he's got in his mind that he wants to share with people. He goes looking for it. And he says something really powerful. He talks about those very same three things again from the words of Isaiah. Isaiah says, bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, and let the oppressed go free. The same three temptations that he experienced in the wilderness, he's bringing back into a new context in the synagogue. Where there was bread in the wilderness, that temptation for provision, you'll never want for anything else. You will have your bread. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me and anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Poor people who do not have enough provision. They live in the threat of scarcity all the time. Jesus addresses this. The poor are those who have no provision. Then he says, the Spirit sent Jesus to proclaim release to the captives. If you are a captive, you are under the power of someone else. You suffer under the authority of someone who might not be just, who might not be kind, who might not be generous. You are captive to someone else's power. And then he says that he's here to let the oppressed go free. Freedom is the ultimate safety. Safety to walk about in freedom, to go where you would like to go without the threat of someone hurting you, to say what you need to say and speak the truth of your heart without being abused. When Jesus comes back from the wilderness, he takes those three experiences and he brings them into the words of Isaiah, and then he reads them for the congregation. And then he does something really important. You thought that was big. Check this out. Jesus rolls up the scroll and he sits. He sits. Who's sitting now? Who in the room is standing now? I am standing to teach you. But at that time, the teacher sits and asks the student to show what they've learned. So Jesus reads, and he says, okay, tell me what you've learned. Tell me what you know about provision and safety and freedom. And he sits there and he waits for the congregation to tell him what they know. They're living in difficult times, but they've been here before. This is not the first time an oppressive regime has come into power and has made people suffer, has taken away provision and threatened security. This is not the first time. This happens all the time. Look in the Bible record. Look in the historical records. We always have something happening in the chronicle of human life. Some would say, we are in a dark time again. It's been difficult to focus on the good news of Jesus Christ this week when all the airwaves have been very filled with some other things that have happened, particularly down south. And yeah, maybe we're in dark times again, but we've been here before. And just as Jesus sat down in the congregation to listen to what they have to say, Jesus is sitting, waiting for us to tell him what we have learned about our faith, about our call from God, about being, as we prayed at the beginning in our collect, about being up for the task that God has given us and put us into, this call to be the good news in the world. There's a question that comes up sometimes. If God is so good and so loving and so kind, why does God let bad things happen in the world? Good question. The question technically is called theodicy, and it speaks to why would such a good God let things happen? If God is all-loving and all-powerful, how could God possibly let bad things happen? When we ask that question of Jesus, as he's sitting there waiting for us to respond, we say, Jesus, why do bad things happen? Why does God allow bad things to happen? Jesus looks back at us and says, I'll ask you the same question. Why do you let bad things happen? Kind of puts it on us, hey? We know that we have been given gifts. Paul tells us so in the second reading today. We have been baptized into the light of Christ. We are people who are created in the image of that loving God. We know how to build community. We know how to get through difficult times, whatever they may be. Why? How? Well, why? Because we know what love does, what it means, and how powerful love is. Love is more powerful than any other energy or entity in the world. Love moves mountains. We know about community. Building the beloved community, the people Jesus gathered around himself. Jesus couldn't stop people from gathering around him, 5,000 at a time on a hillside sometimes. People gather around love because love provides those provisions, that sense of safety and that sense of freedom. Jesus teaches us how to do this in all of the lessons. He teaches us how to love in a difficult time. He teaches us how to gather community when people feel so isolated. He teaches us how to bring those who have been cast off into the margins back into that loving center. We know how to do this. We've been doing this. We've done it in the past, and we can do it again. Jesus shows us how. And more than that, Jesus promises us, you will do even greater things than this. And so here we are, in our moment in time, to do even greater things than that, to love more powerfully, to care more deeply, to be compassionate more fully, to be merciful, to be forgiving, to be welcoming. We have all experienced welcome. It feels good. Maybe many, if not all of us, have also experienced rejection. So we know what the alternative is. And if you have experienced rejection ever, I am sorry. But it doesn't have to happen anymore. Because you're here now. You are the beloved community. Here's a little personal something about me if you wanted to know. I really like Bruce Lee. I think Bruce Lee is the bee's knees. I've seen his movies. I've practiced his martial art form. I just love it. And one of the things that he says that I just love is this. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do. We know what God expects of us. We know how to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick, to care for the poor. It's up to us to do it. We can't outsource that to someone else. We have to do that. We must not be simply willing to agree to being charitable. We actually have to be charitable. We have to put into practice the things that we've learned over the course of our lives here. As our understanding of Christ has grown with us, our actions grow too. There's another saying that I quite like, and I come back to this. There's something about this Jewish rabbinic saying that comes up whenever I find myself in a difficult position. It goes like this. You are not obligated to complete the task, but neither are you free to desist from it. We are part of a continuum of the beloved community of the followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. We are not the first ones to be here, but we are not the last. But we are here in the middle, and our job is to bridge everything that the generations before us have done for the kingdom of heaven with the generations to come after us, to teach them what we've learned in our experience of what it means to love and welcome and accept, to be merciful and forgiving and to reconcile our differences. That's our job. We can't not do that. At the very least, we do that. The good news today is this. We have inherited from Jesus vast abundance, the overflowing love of God that gives and gives, and the more it gives, the more it has to give. We have inherited the understanding and the vision of the kingdom of heaven, and we know how to help others experience that kingdom of heaven as well. Christ has entrusted us to continue what we have begun, what has been begun by our ancestors. We continue for our next generations forward. And so to do this, let us be intentional in our daily lives as to how we bring good news to the poor, how we proclaim release to those who feel captive, how we let those who feel oppressed feel free. You've already done this. Sisters and brothers and non-binary siblings in Christ, you have already done this. Just read through your annual vestry packet. Shameless hack. That's the good news. That's the word of God as proclaimed by this community. You can do this. I know you can do this. I've seen you do it. And now more than ever, it's important to be aware of us doing what we do. And when we bring our awareness to that, we know that Christ is watching us, giving us what we need to carry forward and to continue to do what we've been called to do. The more effort we put into being the good news, the more good news there's going to be to share. What is the good news? The good news is this. Love is stronger than hate. Compassion is stronger than ambivalence. Forgiveness is stronger than resentment. Kindness is stronger than malevolence. And you already possess everything you need to be the good news in the world. At this time, when it's needed now more than ever, and at every other time. So go, be, and do as Christ has taught you. That's the good news.